Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. It's the Wicked Wednesday. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We're going to do an Olympic hockey podcast today in between games, as Canada has just survived the Czech Republic. And I'm old enough to remember 1998 like it was yesterday, and getting severe bad flashbacks of 1998. And it was actually, you know what? It was not only 1998, it was 1998 to the day last night, yesterday. So it was literally like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. Really? 28 years ago to today, the Czech Republic beat Canada in the Olympics. And it was that 1998, guys, was the first time that we had NHL players in the Olympics. And much like now, everybody in Canada thought, oh, we could put two. You know what? I want to punch these people in the face. I saw some jackass the other day, and people were agreeing with him. Canada could have two teams and win medals. Dude, we nearly just lost the one medal. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, we're going to win two medals. Yeah, we're going to have two teams. We barely have like one. We got one line, two teams. We have two lines. But Canada survives. And I got to tell you, man, I get it that like people get frustrated and stuff, but there's so many bad hockey takes out there. And when Canada was losing 3-2, a bunch of people started saying, oh, who would have thought that Binnington isn't the guy? And I'm like, seriously, don't pretend you know anything about hockey if you were about to blame that loss on Craig Binnington, Jordan Binnington tonight. Going old school with Craig.
Yeah, Craig Binnington. Yeah,
Yeah.
remember good old days.
Going old
Craig
school, Craig
Button.
Binnington,
Yeah, Craig
also a
Binnington.
goalie.
Yes, I miss Craig Binnington.
Yeah, oh, yeah, old school. But yeah, Jordan Binnington, dude, none of the goals were his fault. And not only were none of his goals his fault, the dude saved Canada's ass again. Like, not, you know, in the game, he saved them. There were a bunch of little saves. Don't be fooled by the fact that Canada outshot them. As far as legitimate scoring chances are concerned, Canada was the better team for the first 10 minutes. And then the Czech Republic took over after. And even though they didn't have like a million shots on goal, like every time they did, it was like dangerous, right? Canada's defensemen were terrible. Mark Stone skates like a freaking stone, man. You know, Mark Stone skates like he's got curling stones attached to his feet. They're like 40 pounds each. Man, that guy's slow. If someone's not playing in the next game, it's him. Like for me, I'm benching him. Like he was a liability out there. Canada's defensemen were sloppy. Their line changes were sloppy. We put Binnington in a bad spot a bunch of times when it was 2-1. He kept it 2-1. Dude, when it was tied late, there was a minute and 10 seconds left in the game. He stopped a breakaway, which they could have. He literally stopped a breakaway. And then in overtime, Canada had that early chance with McDavid. They buzzed around the net, but then the puck came down to the other end of the rink, man. And there was a 2-on-1. I thought we were about to lose. I was like, oh, son of a bitch, here it is. And he made the save, and then it just went to the other end. But Canada wins. But I will say this, and we'll bring Cam and Babana in. I'll throw it to you, Cam. Canada won, but this is ridiculous in a knockout stage that we're doing 3-on-3.
I know. I'm like, wow, we could do the show today. We're not
Like,
going to be
no,
playing
you
again
got to be
tomorrow.
kidding me,
I
man. Like,
know.
3-on-3. Like,
Agree.
I understand, like, you know what I mean? We're not, whatever, in the preliminary rounds and, you know, whatever you want to do your gimmick stuff. But, like, you get into the knockout stage and you get into the games that are this highly staked and we're doing 3-on-3. It's like, it's Russian roulette. That's all it is. It's Russian roulette. You hope for the best. Canada happened to score first because Binnington made the save. And then Marner buried it after. And for the record, so it's 3-on-3 for 10 minutes. And then we would have went to a shootout after. If it was still tied after the 10, we would have went to a shootout. And they're going to do the same thing in the semifinals, but it's 15 minutes. We'll never get 15 minutes 3-on-3. So
No, unless
but
goalies
it's
stand on the rest.
15 minutes, and then it goes to a shootout. And then the gold medal game is normal. If it goes to overtime, it goes to overtime, 5-on-5. But dude, like at least in the semifinals, like stay away from the 3-on-3. Like I get okay,
Sure.
quarterfinals, fine. I don't like it, but 3-on-3 is like worse than a shootout to me almost. Like 3-on-3 is not even hockey. I'd rather decide it with a shootout. Like 3-on-3 is not hockey, Cam.
No, it's not. And another thing is, I think when we get to this level, and we're not on the committee, but you got to play 20 minutes of five on
No, we'll
five, and then
never
you
be
can
on the
switch it.
committee.
No, me and you, they'll pay
You're
money for
never
us not
getting to
to have
that
an
level,
opinion.
Cam. I hate to break it
Exactly.
to
A committee.
you.
They wouldn't even let us in the
I'm
building.
never going to be on the Hockey Canada board, Cam.
Oh,
It's never
God.
not happening.
Dude, I'm on a Hockey Mississauga, Hockey Toronto board. Like, no one cares what I say. But I'm going to say, I think we should do 20 minutes at least, five on five. I understand the time, and people will say, oh, yeah, we have to do this. And they can't be playing all night long. I get it, but this is serious stuff. And I think a 20-minute, one period, five on five, and then you can move. But hey, Gabe, that's my opinion on the matter. Bottom line is this: Morenci's right. Binnington stood on his head. They hung him out to dry a couple times, and he made big saves. Nice to see Nick Suzuki. Crosby gets hurt. Suzuki comes in the game. People, that's another thing. People have these horrible takes about Nick Suzuki's a great hockey player. Why don't you talk to Brad Marchand what he thinks about Nick Suzuki when he gets a chance to play? And Gabe, much maligned Mitch Marner with that end-to-end. That backhander was unreal. Give kudos to the Czechs. Tostal was amazing between the pipes. And hey, we didn't think it was going to be that close, but this is what happens in Olympic hockey. These teams are very, very close. Lots of parity.
Yeah, Nick Suzuki wasn't really fitting in. He couldn't really figure out his role on this team. And he's a centerman. And evidently, he has a hard time playing on the wing. It's just not the same for him. And you saw Babano. Crosby goes out. They had to shuffle the lines around a little bit. And suddenly, Nick Suzuki's taking faceoffs. He's the centerman. And literally on his first shift, bro, pretty much in the third period when he was the centerman, he hit the post, if you recall. They caused chaos around the net. He hit the post. You know, it's amazing what just a little tweak and a difference will make. We need Sidney Crosby back as well for depth, obviously, but Sidney Crosby going out did switch everything up for Nick Suzuki Babano.
Yeah, no question. No question. And it was the Nick Suzuki goal to tie the game late in the third period. You can't get a better tip. You can't get a better deflection. You know, this is the, with all due respect to the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is for Canadians, part two of the immaculate deflection. It was a phenomenal redirect in front of the net to have the hand-eye
I wouldn't go
coordination.
that far, but
The immaculate deflection.
It's a quarterfinals,
That
man. That
was
was a knockout
awesome.
game. Yeah.
The immaculate deflection.
If it was a preliminary round game, you can't use that phrase. I think this, look, this
I
was a
like
tying game in
it,
an elimination game, but that was
though.
a great goal. And Lukáš Dostal was great. I will say this, Czechia in the first period, they set the tone. They gave themselves a chance in the first period because unlike the preliminary round game, they were getting caved in that first game. Canada was really heavily outplaying them, and it really took until the second period for Canada to pick it up to a level where they were really starting to carry the
Babano, they have
play
a
again.
40-year-old guy on their team, Červenka. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to give the Czechs a lot of credit. That
You do.
guy's
They
been
hung in
playing
there.
hockey since we were young. Like, and he's still grinding
Former
it out.
NHLer. Played
Yeah,
in the
no.
NHL for a bit.
Got to give them all the credit in the world. They battled.
Overall, you give credit to the Czech to Czechia. They did listen, they clogged the lanes. They really didn't give Canada an opportunity to set up. They were just sort of like stacking the lineup with big white jerseys. They played the old school Czech Republic hockey and really could have won the game. You could argue the Czechs, you know, kind of deserve better with the breakaway. There's going to be a lot of guys on the Czech Republic that are going to be haunted by, man, I could have scored. Like, yeah, we could have finished it off and made it 3-1 there. There's a lot of really should have, could have, would have moments for them. But Canada's got that was not a very good performance from Canada today. And early in the broadcast, they kind of let it slip almost. They said, you know, Cooper's been concerned about this throughout the tournament, and it's kind of like they were exposed on it. Some of the defensive line changes have been like sloppy. You'll notice too when Canada got a penalty, who was it coming out of the box? It was chaos. Like there's been like some sloppy line changes. There's been miscommunication with the defenseman getting the puck out of the zone. There's been soft clearances. To me, like I said, like I would put Bennett in and I would benchmark Stone personally. Like I just think Stone was too much of a liability
He had a rough day.
out
That
there.
turnover just is a bad one in the first period,
That's
you know,
awful.
that led to that Czechia goal in the old first goal
Yeah,
in
but
the
it was the
opening
tur
period.
there was yeah the first turnover, but it was also he didn't he was slow back checking on another scoring opportunity. He was on the ice, Babano, for the third goal as well.
Yes, he was by up a lot.
Like
Yes, he
basically
was.
every time something like bad happened, Mark Stone was on the ice. And he was behind the play, like a step, like, oh, and he just sort of got there.
He's made a career of his positioning being sound. The active
stick. The pace is too fast for him in this Olympic
Exactly.
Hockey.
And it's made up for his lack of foot speed. And it's what's kept him in the league all these years. He's never been a great skater, but he's had the intuition. He's had the IQ. He's been in the right position.
Yeah,
knowing
Sam Bennett,
on the ice.
Sam Bennett can be trusted more. He won't make the
mistakes. But it caught up to him a bit today. Exactly. This was the worst game you'll see Mark Stone play defensively. He's usually a takeaway machine. He forces turnovers.
He made one good
play
at the end of the game.
I think it's going to be the last game he plays for the week, to be honest. It's up to me.
He did make one good play, but he had a lot of bad ones. So let's put it that way. The bad outweighed the good.
It was weird, too, because Cooper's a hard ass, right? Like, Tom Wilson upset them early in the game with the bad high sticking penalty. Like, that's another. Like, just little things like that. It's like, guys, you can't do this, like, in a game like this. Right, like he took a high sticking penalty for no reason. You know what I mean? Like it didn't affect the play or anything like that. He sort of got tangled up with someone in the faceoff circle and the puck wasn't even there. The puck was like behind the net and like there was no scoring danger and he clipped someone in the face, right, with his stick. And I don't know if you caught the moment too. They happened to show like the Team Canada's brass in the press box. They were mad, like, after that. Like, yeah. And they were mad at the ref. Like, I guarantee you, they were like, son of a bitch, effing Tom. Like, what do you like? And Cooper didn't play around, man. Like, he barely touched the ice after that. It was like, all right, dude. You know what I mean? Like, the little experiment's over. But I posted, you know what I mean? I should have been doing a damn broadcast. I said midway through the second period, I said, listen, Cooper, you're going to have to start trusting somebody. Like, you can't just keep rolling out like the same 2, 3, 4 guys here all the time. I would have liked to see Bo Horvat get more playing time, Jarvis get more playing time. And then they did actually in the third. I think it was just due to fatigue with Connor and Macklin. And I tell you what, too, Nate MacKinnon was pretty invisible for like a lot of the game, right? Once Crosby got hurt and they shook it up and put him with McDavid. Then he scored on the power play there, but Nate's going to have to bring
five,
more
not
to
a
the
lot.
Table.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not he's going to have to bring more Rubano. Like he's been, he really didn't do anything today. Like, yeah, he scored a power play goal, but he didn't have an impact on the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Didn't look like a world. He didn't look like
I think
one
a lot
of
these underrated guys are the guys who are stepping up. And I think that's a great point. I think Bo Horvat's been fantastic in this tournament and very underrated.
Jarvis was on the ice at Elise Cam. They were cycling the puck.
I like
in
Jarvis.
The other end. You know what I mean? The puck was in their zone, at least, when Jarvis was on the ice.
Jarvis is a great – Babano, you guys, we know hockey. This is he's a good two-way player. Seth Jarvis is a very, very solid hockey player.
And he's better in underrated. Big games, Jarvis. He's one of these guys where it's like, yeah, just trust him. Don't worry about it in a big game. You know?
He deserves more trust because I've watched this guy play big games. And I'll tell you one thing. When he played for the Hurricanes, it wasn't his fault that they didn't win any of those games. He was usually the best player on the ice. So, no, I'm a big Seth Jarvis guy. Time for the
Mitch Marner of all I can. So Mitch Marner's name was not mentioned once, basically, for like the first 30 minutes of the game. And all kidding aside, I guess it was basically like with like 2 minutes left in the first period. They were like, oh, there's Mitch Marner in the corner or whatever. And I was like, man, that's the first time I've heard his name. I'm like, I posted, I said, I actually forgot Mitch Marner was on the team today. I said, he hasn't done anything. And then, of course, right, low-hanging fruit, Cam. I got a million replies, just like the playoffs with the Leafs. He's terrible. You see, he's this, he's that. Like,
I don't know if it's about hockey. It
all that
the
other
worst
type of stuff.
Everyone.
And lo and behold, it's Mitch Marner that scores the goal in overtime.
Dave, I could have the worst like take in golf ever, whatever. No one would even care. Like when you start mentioning hockey with Canadians, like it's like people want to kill people. Like they want to put a shiv in your neck. Like, hey, people take things real personally. And, like, step aside from this Maple Leafs, Canadians, all this other crap. It's Team Canada. Don't worry about, you said it, the low-hanging fruit. But Mitch Marner, you got to give him credit. He's usually a setup man, but his finish, Gabe, on that backhand, that was
great.
That was absolutely stunning. Like,
perfect backhand.
Oh, it was unreal. Yeah. It was beautiful.
I think everyone was lightheaded, too, after that game, including Elliot Friedman, who said, that's the best Canada game I've ever seen. Come on, Friege. Summit Series, 87 Canada Cup, 3 epics against
the
Soviets,
the
2010
best.
Winter Olympic gold medal. I could go on. I think he just got caught up in the moment, though.
I'm not a fan, to be honest, of from a media perspective, their panel, there's too many people on the panel. It's this crossover of all the networks, and it's too, there's not enough substance.
Yeah, too much loving. Like nobody has a real
take. Yeah,
there's
too much joking. It's like, so you got Duffy on one side. Like, oh, we never were. You're on another. No, ho, ho, ho. We get it. All right.
And then Bieksa and Friedman trade barbs back and forth.
Exactly.
The
so you've got Duffy on one side with his little wisecracks. You got Elliot Freeman, who thinks he's a comedian, on the other side. Bieksa's in the middle. Elliot and Bieksa have these little inside jokes all the time, right? That we all kind of know, but it's like, guys, like, just enough. Just get to the game. Like, Cassie Campbell's like the only, kind of like the only one suddenly. She's like in the middle, and she's like, all right, I want to talk about like the game and what I want to break down some film here. And everybody else is like, you know, Freeman, oh, you weren't good enough. Hey, Bex to be on your team. It's like, dude, like, shut up, bro.
Even when McClain's on, James,
I know you're just jabbing each other, all the inside jokes, too.
Like, I know more about Ron McLean's drinking buddies now from this Olympics.
Exactly.
It's like,
what you got for dinner last night, Duffy? It's like, I don't care.
CBC. I don't care either.
We get that you're all making a lot of money and you're in Italy. All right, we get it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm with you. I'm like, I'm so tired of these stories. Like, shut up.
But I will say, I do agree with Babano, and I've always been a big Mike Johnson fan. I've liked him. I know him from the Montreal days.
He's a nice guy.
And he played for the Canadiens, and he's lived in Montreal. I always thought, like, the Montreal Canadiens shit, like, he should be the Canadiens guy, right? But and he does do a lot of Habs games, but I'm talking, like, Habs radio and everything like that, but they don't want to pee. He makes money, so. But he does a great job. I am a big Mike Johnson fan. Great, you know, it's great, good perspective.
But that's a rough moment for Friedman. Best Canada game ever, he said after that game today. That's a little rough. That's a little rough. It was a great game, but best game
Johnson
ever.
Gets good perspectives. He's played for the Leafs, Canadians, everybody else. No, I'm with you, Gabe. I think Mike Johnson does a great job.
Yeah, but Johnson, he has a good perspective of a player, and he was a good player. He wasn't a superstar, but he was a very good player. So he's got the perspective of a player. He's not like biased either. Like
he's much better than Simpson. Cuthbert has more conversation with Mike Johnson than with Craig Simpson. Way more.
He breaks down the games, but on the other side too, he's got a sense of humor, which is good. Like nobody's going to bring up, like, the other day he's like the first one ever to bring up the goal line during an Olympic broadcast. Like, that would be unheard of. Somebody scored, and he goes, oh, there's a lot of people happy. And he goes, you know what? They were 4.5 goal favorites. And I started laughing, and like, so it's good for him. Like, he knows the lines, he knows the props, he understands people are betting on it, but he keeps it to, like, you know what I mean? He's got a good balance. I like Craig. I think Craig Simpson's good. You know what I mean? But Johnson's just sort of, you know, fresher, and he's got that sort of platform. Johnson's almost like the Dan Orlovsky. You know what I mean? He's like the newer young guy. He's got the platform, and he's knocking it out of the park. But he's never gotten this massive platform on TSM before. So to be the lead analyst on the Olympics is big for him. And, like, down the road type of deal, Johnson could cash in. Like, the American networks need hockey guys all the time.
Well, look at the pattern with TSN. And they got to give TSN credit. They've hired good analysts because they had big shoes to fill when – first pairing was Gord Miller and Pierre Maguire. Pierre went to U.S. television, NBC, and they had to replace him. They found Ray Ferraro, and Ray did a great job for years. And then he went to U.S. television, and they had to replace him. So they've actually done a good job with the analyst choices.
You look at, Cam, look at Las Vegas. It's your boy, Darren Millard.
Millard.
Gary Lawless.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, basically, like, these, you know, the American networks, they don't have enough people that are qualified for the job. So if you do a good job on Canadian TV, like, I'm shocked that Kevin Bieksa has not left. He was offered money. He, like, I know, like, every American network has offered him that had the deal, but he makes pretty good money on Hockey Night in Canada as it is. And, I've heard he doesn't want to do, like, multiple games a week and stuff. Like, he's got it pretty set up softly right now. You know what I mean? In the playoffs, you work every day, but during the regular season, he basically works on Saturdays. He lives in, like, Malibu or whatever, right? He lives in, like, California. he flies in once a week. You know, the guy's making whatever he's making and some nice money. And he doesn't have the pressure, right? If you take the big money from TNT or ESPN or whatever, they expect you to do like, you know, they're, you know, Bexa doesn't want to get a call coming at 8:30 in the morning to go on First
Leave me
Take.
Alone.
Like, yeah.
I'm
and they're going to tell me, hey, listen, Bex, we're giving you $1 million to be a hockey analyst. So you've got to go on every talk show that we tell you to go on.
Like David Amber, line one.
That's
Those
why,
guys are
like, yeah, exactly. That's why, yeah. Kevin Weeks will love to do it, Kev. Oh, sure, yes. I'll do it. Like
yeah, anything you want.
Kevin
fellas.
Weeks goes on every show, right? Like that's why he's there. PK Subban, he'll go on PTI. Bieksa doesn't want to do that. That's why Jeff Van Gundy got canned. Everyone wondered why did Jeff Van Gundy, like he was so good, Jeff Van Gundy on TV with the basketball, because he was like the ultimate grump. You know what I mean, Cam? Like he would be like, no, I am not going.
You can't
on
come on this
Smith.
Show. Nope. You don't.
Hey, hey, coach, can you go on PTI to talk about the NBA final game tonight? No, I can't.
No, sorry.
He would basically say that's not in my contract.
That's amazing.
Like he would. That's not my contract is to do the game, not to do talk shows.
That's funny.
And they're like, all right, when your contract's up, it's like. You don't want to go on. You don't want to be on the network. We're not going to pay you to be on the network. Like it's a cold world, but that's the way it works. But yeah, I like Mike Johnson a lot. Does a good job. But yeah, I just find the panels a little bit. It's typical hokiness.
Yeah.
Right. And also today, Duffy said after he goes, "Oh, it looks like that was the TSN turning point." He goes, "I couldn't resist." Oh, I swear to God, I would like ream him so hard for this after.
Yeah,
I would, Cam. You know, everyone looks up to Duffy like he's a kingpin.
I know.
I'd be like, listen, we were on Sportsnet and CBC. We weren't on TSN.
Exactly.
You're lucky we're even letting you on this broadcast.
Yeah.
I don't even know why he's there.
I'm with you.
I gotta be honest with you. Why is he even there? You're not on the network.
You're so right. I actually met Duffy. He was really rude to me too. So everyone thinks he's Mr. Nice Guy.
I've never met him.
I did. I met him at a golf. He was all like flashing his stuff. He was acting like a.
Well, I've heard he's a nice guy. Well, you said everyone talks like he's the nicest guy in the world.
But. I don't know about that. I was at a pro shop and he was very rude to everybody. But anyway, that's just my story. But you can't do that. You can't just talk about the TSN. I'm with you. Like that's actually like. Gabe, say you're not a bit like anybody would tell you do that. Also, you're in shit.
But not everyone laughed, but he did. He was like, "Oh, I had to do it." I was like, "No, you didn't." Like,
no, you didn't have to do it.
He won't get in trouble because he's James Duffy. But if it was me, I was the boss, I'd be sending him an email text.
Exactly. You're not on TSN.
Just be a little reminder.
No, good job, the quiz either. James, get rid of that
reminder.
Quiz.
You're not on TSN this week.
He takes the quiz way too seriously. He's like Canada's favorite game show hosted by the evil quiz master. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? What are we doing?
There's a lot of weird stuff going on, Babano. But anyway.
Yeah, I got no beef with him personally. My only deal, I got a thing with Duffy is that he's never around all year for anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my thing with him, Cam and Babano. But like, he's never like around for the CFL very much. You know what I mean? Kate Burness does it.
TSN's made him the Bob Costas of TSN. They send him to the big events. Grey Cup, Masters, Super Bowl.
As I'm saying, yes. And then pop, boom, Grey Cup. We got to get 4 hours of James Duffy. It's like, bro, Duffy hasn't been around all year doing the CFL. Why is he here? Right? And it's like, you know, he's become like he's the new Ron McClain. He's the new Ron McClain, where they just like basically he gets like the marquee sort of host job for everything. Soccer, same thing. Same thing. Yep. Like that's the World Cup of soccer coming up in Team Canada. It's going to be this motherfucker. He's going to be going on waxing poetic about Canadian soccer. And it's like, dude,
he'll be there.
You only care
Kevin
about
Coban
hockey, bro. And now you're going to pretend you're a big soccer guy for 6 weeks because TSN pays you big money. But
it's disrespectful.
He makes a lot of
people,
money. He's their highest paid guy. He makes a lot of money.
He makes tons of money. And another thing is,
I think
also,
he makes like close to like about 1.5 type thing, a million and a half.
And to your point, man, when you put in the time for a sport and do it all year, it's almost disrespectful to you to put in all that time for it for the league that you cover, right? It's like, oh yeah, I'll be there the whole year and then see ya. Then they just bring in these guys, right? So it's kind of, I'm not
they
really down
so
with it
good,
either.
Though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like it's like he's the new guy, like the
safe,
god,
he's
the
clean.
Host.
They think he's like, you know what I mean?
TSN's Bob Costas. That's what I call him. Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't no Bob Costas.
No.
No,
not in stature or notoriety. That's for damn sure.
I don't know. He is less annoying than Ron McLean, though.
If I hear another Ron McLean, like, drinking buddy story, he stole my hockey stick. It's like, no one knows who these people are.
But speaking of which, though, I never really thought about it too much. So they bump Rod, right? So they bump Rod for Duffy, essentially.
And like,
where's Rod?
Shout out to the Fletcher family in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
Is Rod doing like the host? Let's talk about the curling. Well, they got Andy Petrillo, whatever. Is he in the studio?
And then they bring in Ron to do like the recap of like the other. Like, he's still there. He's just not a hockey guy. He's just doing.
I haven't watched that stuff. Yeah. I've been watching all the events, but I haven't watched any of this.
Ron's still there,
shows, you know.
Andy Petrillo's doing a lot. She's definitely.
They gave her the bigger spot, and then Anastasia Busis and what's his name, McMorris at night. You know, they got the better, studio gigs than Ron. They buried Ron in the morning.
Anastasia and McMorris, she's a hipster. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, it's like
you're right. It's like, what?
I get it. They're like, all right, let's get the hipster girl in here. She'll be the face of this thing. And she is pretty good on TV, Anastasia. Like, she's got and she's an Olympian. Like, you know what I mean? I got no beef with her. McMorris, it's a funny pairing, those two, I find, though.
Yeah.
Like, McMorris is a sort of clean-cut kid from, like, the Maritimes. Like, he's got, like, this sort of, like, goofy haircut. He's got, like, cheap suits. Like, he's just sort of...
I like it.
And she's, like, decked out. Like, she's wearing, like, $8,000, like, suits, Cam, and stuff, like this girl.
I know. She had, like, she's a leopard print suit that was,
she's wearing, like...
$20,000.
I know fashion a bit. I'm like, dear God, look at her jacket. Like, she's,
well,
like,
he was an ex-Games athlete. Around. He was an X Games athlete, Craig McMorris, for a long time, like his old younger brother, Mark, but he got lots of injuries. And so he had to go into television, and he's been calling the X Games on ESPN for years. And he's been working all the Olympics for CBC the last few.
But Bennett is good. I'm a big fan of. I like her. She's good.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, she was at one of our live shows and, She was hot, right? She still is. She still is very pretty, but like when she was younger, she was hot. And of all people, we were there. I don't know if you remember, Cam.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit, but Eric Cohen rolled up and asked her out to her face.
Oh, that's so bad. You can't be doing that thing. You can't be doing that.
She probably gotta give that guy credit.
He's got
give him credit because, like, dude, like, like he's normally there's sort of like guys will sort of know, she's out of my league. Like, that's not like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking at Eddie Petrillo. Like, yeah, Eddie Petrillo. Like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be like, nah, like, you sort of look, you know what I mean? It's like asking like Omask out or from the Sportsnet girl or something. It's like, dude, like,
no.
What do you think? Like, are you on crack? You know what I mean? Like,
you got to have there.
But I never forget. I was in the bar. I was there. And he told me before. He goes, I've always had a thing for Andy Petrillo. I said, so does everybody. I said, yeah. I said, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, man. I said, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to ask her out. I even told him. I said, I wouldn't do
don't
that.
Don't do it. Don't
yeah,
do
I said, it. I wouldn't do that. Yeah. And I told him to his face, Cap. I said, bro, like, she's a little out of your league, Cohen. Like I said, like this, like, no, I said, I don't think it's going to end well. And he had the balls to do it. It was really funny. I give him credit. Say what you will about Cohen in his old days.
No, he's got stones.
He had stones.
He really did.
Thing is, then he was offended after she said no. I can't believe it. Like, yeah, he didn't like her after. I was like, did you really think she was going to say yes? Like,
were you going to take her? What are you doing?
But it was too funny. I really
Cohen's that guy, that. Gabe. You know,
every time, like, I see her on TV, I laugh about that. Cohen. Every time I see her on TV, I think
Cohen's one of those guys. It's like, you know, the 100 woman trick. If I ask 100, you know, maybe one or two will say yes, type of thing, right? That's him. He goes for it.
His stories were the best. Like, remember when he went on the Dini Petty show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's done some pretty crazy
stuff.
That's
an old way back playback show.
Yeah.
he was too. He literally, like, literally funny. Like,
but you're right.
He still
Andy
probably
does a good
is,
job.
But he's,
she does.
He's more private about it, I think, because you can't change when you're the type of dude that he is. But anyways, Petrillo does a good job.
Yeah,
she's really good, Petrillo. Like, she can do any sport. She knows hockey. She's obviously, like, she's really good with hockey.
Yeah.
And she's really good with soccer.
Yep.
And She speaks Italian too. So the other day,
that helps
very well.
She was busting out Italian stuff, and like,
that's a good thing to know.
And she does Amazon Prime Monday night games and does a good job. So yeah, she everything.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Exactly. Like everybody got a big gig except us. Like these big like, we needed everybody.
Wake up and go, wow, man.
Nah, I see the CBC. I'm like, dude, this guy doesn't know anything about this sport. You hired like you got Errol Hoani. He's like doing snowboarding and stuff. I'm like, God, like
CBC to work with. Everybody's never got a wicked job. Everyone's got a wicked job. Can I work a shift, please?
And then your buddy Richard Garter, Bronstetter, UFC guy for years. For
even Richard Garter, like Garter always like does the Olympics. He works at like in the headquarters of the CBC or something. Like everybody, like they literally hire everybody in Canada because they need people. Like they, you know what I mean, there's so many sports, and they're like, we don't have enough broadcasters, we don't have enough this, we don't have enough that. So basically, like everybody gets hired. Like Corey Erdman is like the Olympic boxing guy on CBC. Like. Everybody gets hired. I always thought one day, you know, maybe I'll get a call and do like some stupid sport like that they don't care about. But no, my dream has been crushed. It's funny too. I'll never forget. Like for whatever reason, too, I don't know why. My mother, may she rest in peace, but she didn't like Elliot Friedman. And it used to. I don't know. And I was like, I had no beef with Elliot, but it was funny. Like she used to like be bothered by it. She'd go like, I don't understand why that Elliot Friedman's on Hockey Night in Canada and you're not. And I tell her, I'm not a hockey insider. Like, he's a reporter, Mom. Like, that's not. And she goes, he's terrible. And he's very arrogant. Wow. And she's like, you know, and it would really, really, really be like, it would really, really be like, she'd bring it up all the time. So by chance, once I was on the phone with her and my phone rang and I saw it and it said CBC. And I told her, I said, oh, wow, CBC's on the other line, Mom. And she goes, I told you Hockey Night in Canada was going to hire you. And I told her, I said, no. I said, I'm probably in being investigated for something. Or I said, this is probably the fifth estate or something. Yes. And she started laughing. And I said, all kidding aside, I said, they're probably calling to ask me to go on as a guest or something on one of their whatever. You know what I mean? And lo and behold, it was the fifth estate.
Amazing.
And, like, I was like, hello? Like, yeah, this is the fifth estate. We're doing a thing on sports betting and sports books. I was like, yeah, I can't help you.
No.
I was like, right. I was like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. And they're like, yeah, but didn't she? You know, I was like, yeah, I don't. And I basically hung up. I was like, yeah. And they asked me, will you willing to do an interview? And I told the guy, I said, I'll be willing to do an interview on Hockey Night in Canada. And then I said, but I'm not willing to do an interview with the fifth estate. And I hung up. Yeah. That was the end of that. But yeah, everybody gets hired. Everybody gets hired for this stuff. All right, we'll wrap it up because we got games. We got games coming up, but the Olympics have been off the hook, and who knows what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? But next week we'll get into who's going to carry this into the second half or into the stretch drive of the National Hockey League season. Like, is Celebrini going to go off? Or is he going to be tired now, right?
Well, I think he's going to go off.
I think Connor Bedard is the guy, Cam. He's sitting at home right now watching this. He's working out. He's training.
Yeah.
He's going to go on a tear. Go on a tear and play for the world team this year. Play in the world championships. Get back in Team Canada's good graces.
It's a good call.
Like I look for Connor Bedard going strong here.
It's a good call, Renzi. When Canada calls, he has to answer now because – not going to these events prior has cost him a little bit, but he knows now. Like, he's getting older, smarter, better. And, yeah, he'll be a part of Canada.
Him not playing in the World Championships really put him behind the eight ball this year. And it gave the advantage to Celebrini. Celebrini's more all around than he is, but it gave us the advantage to Celebrini, point blank. Right? He showed up last year to the World Championships. Connor didn't. And if Connor didn't get hurt, he still wasn't going to make the team. Like, they don't think he was, like, all around ready yet. And you know what's crazy, too, is Connor knows it, too. Like, Connor's not, like, I think a lot of some people think that he's at home crying and stuff. He's not. Like, he's super hard on himself, so he thinks he's got to be better, basically. Like, I basically heard from someone, they said, yeah, I wasn't good enough for Team Canada yet. Like, he basically,
pretty cool.
Kim, he's not the egomaniac like in real life. You know what I mean? That, like, he actually told people, like, yeah, you know what? I'm not an all-around player enough for that yet.
He's getting, like, I can tell you one thing, Gabe, the next time they call, he'll be there because his game is getting better and better and better all the time.
I had a BKFC guy on yesterday. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I got another one later in the day today, but I had a BKFC guy on yesterday. Another one, wild story, guys. Another one of these deals. He's ranked number 2 in the world, pound for pound, bare knuckle. He's never lost before. All right. He's never lost. He's 8-0. He's 25 years old only. He was the youngest bare knuckle fighter champion in history. 22. He won the championship at 22. And he told me yesterday, guys, he's never been in a fight in his life. Like, the first time that he was ever in a fight, Cam, was his first BKFC fight.
Wow.
He said, like, that was the first time that he ever got punched
in
the face.
Never in high school.
And I asked him if he was scared, and he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was that kid in high school that used to start fights and start shit, but back off. I just had a big mouth.
Wow.
It's funny that he admitted it. He goes, as a kid, I used to run my mouth all the time, but I never really would get in fights. He was a high school wrestling champion, too, and should know. Like, so he wasn't like... But he basically said that he never threw a punch. He'd never been in a fist fight in his life before. And the kid's undefeated. It's weird, too, because he's beating up these, like, psychotic dudes that have been fighting their whole life. Like, he's the second guy to tell me this. There was another guy. Because this BKFC
you told me this
guy.
Ago. You said
yeah, there was another kid that told me, too.
So
he goes, I've
deal?
Never punched someone in my life.
They don't go into
BKFC.
Fights, and now they become, like, unbelievable and, like, fighting.
But you see him in the cage, and he's like, bring it on, motherfucker, who's next? And it's like, you'd be like, no way, this kid. Like, he looks like a gangster, but you'd be like, same with this kid. He's from Montana. He looks like this crazy, like, sort of farm kid. But my whole point was I asked him because he's number 2 in the world rank right now, and he's the flyweight champion or whatever, and he's defending his belt. But I asked him about the number 1 guy in the world, Austin Trout, former WBA boxing champion. He's the number 1 ranked guy in bare knuckle now. And I said, do you want to get Austin Trout? You're ranked number 2. He's ranked number 1. He blew me away what the kid said. He said, no, 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 man. He goes, Austin Trout's a legend. He goes, I'm nowhere near like Austin Trout's level yet.
And he's number 2.
He's number 2 in the world, Ken. Wow. And he goes, my day will come to be number 1. And then he even went back. He goes, man, he goes, I didn't know much about boxing and Austin Trout, but I've been watching it. He goes, this guy's scary, man. He goes, no, I don't want to fight him. He said,
that's awesome.
And he said, my time will come, but he goes, I'm only 25. And he goes, I'm looking at the big picture here. And he goes, I wish Austin Trout the best. I was expecting like a fighter answer, Cam. Like, yeah, fuck Austin Trout.
Yeah,
I'll
I'm
fucking
kill
beat
this
him. Like, no. Like, he said, no. He said, no, I have a lot to learn before I can fight Austin Trout.
That's really refreshing.
Right? I mean, so it's sort of like Bedard. I was refreshed to hear the same thing that Bedard was like, no, I'm not like some bitter dude. Like, no, I need to get better. You know what I mean? Like, I got to work on my game, right. You know?
I think that's cool. Yeah, too
all
many
right,
people
so.
Talk too much crap, Morenci. That's the best. Guys, never been in a fight before. Like, I just don't know. I don't understand this.
I love what he told me. He goes, as a teenager, I used to talk a lot of shit, but I would
never
back
fought.
Off. Like, I wouldn't fight. Like,
so you've told me in the last couple of months, the two guys who have never been in a fight haven't lost a fight.
That's no, they're the two, like, best. What? Exactly. Yeah,
that
I
makes
afford
no
the
sense
other
to
kid.
Me,
yeah,
but wow, okay. That's nuts.
Yeah, but it's weird because you got some other guys, like you ask them, why are you going to be, so I'm not in jail. Like other guys are
so
like, just
I'm not
like,
in jail.
Yeah, like, you know,
yes.
So I can beat people up for money. This kid yesterday was telling me that, I said, what's your advantage? Like, why are you like so good at this? And he said, because I don't like getting hit. And he goes, a lot of guys like getting hit or pretend to like getting hit. And he goes, I don't like getting hit. So he goes, I actually work on not getting punched in the face during my fights. And he goes, you don't get punched in the face, you win. And it's pretty simple, right? I like this style. Some guys are more like, oh, yeah, bring it on. I'm tougher than you. Punch
Some
me and I'll
think
punch
best
you.
Offense
let's see.
Is good defense. Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of you see guys in the UFC, like the old guys, like Chris Lee, you know what I mean? I have a tougher chin than you. Let's stand here and see who can knock each other out. No, these modern kids are smart. They dance around. They're like, no, I'm not going to get punched. Like, I'm going to punch you.
The problem
you.
With the chin is, too, it could be tough for a while, but if it keeps on getting
broken,
once
it gets
it's
cracked.
Then you're done. Like, these guys are brilliant.
All right, so this is going to be out after the Sweden-USA game, but we'll give a chance to go on record to look like geniuses. Cam, USA, Sweden, what happens?
I'm taking USA, but you bring up a lot of good points. Now that, like, Finland, by the time of taping, or they're hanging on by a thread. I'm taking the USA. I think they understand the magnitude of this match, and I actually think they win by two. I'm saying, what's my score going to be? I'm going to say 4-3 USA. Actually, yeah, no, 5-3 USA with an empty netter.
Well, this could go one of two ways, Babano, in the sense that Sweden, USA just saw what happened in Canada nearly, and they're like, oh my God. Yeah. And now you got the Swedes rolling in here. Or do the Americans show up? I'll throw it out there just for the record again. The Sweden beat the U.S. last year. It was like 1 year to the day, basically 2 days ago. They beat them last year in the Four Nations. So they beat them last year in international play with pretty much the same rosters. Sweden have gotten a lot better with their lineup changes. They finally figured out their lines over the last couple of games. Markstrom is now the goalie. Gustafsson really struggled early. Sweden are dialing it up. USA haven't beaten Sweden in an Olympic game since 1960. I'm calling a Swedish win. I keep going back to 4-3 for some reason, but I don't know if it's going to be that high scoring, but Sweden wins outright like 3-2, or USA wins 4-3 and Sweden covered a 1.5. What's your pick, Babano?
Yeah, I'm taking Sweden. I like Sweden plus 1.5 at around -110 most. I'll say they win. One goal game for either side, but I'll say they win because I like the plus 1.5. I think it's a competitive game. I like the overs in this game, especially the first period over. Sweden is a perfect 3-0 first period over in this tournament.
Yeah, I think Sweden are going to win too. Actually, I think they're going to
pull
this off.
I'm on an island with the USA. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh,
I think Sweden, Cam, are peaking at the right time.
They're playing well. They are.
I thought BX had a good point because they said, man, because I don't know if you guys remember, but they gave up a late empty net goal. And it was the difference between playing Canada or playing the USA and not playing the USA in this game here. But Bieksa had a good point. And he goes, yeah, you know what? They got to play the USA now. But they actually played so good today, they're going to be confident now. He said they were kind of all over the place in this tournament. The goalie was shaky. Their lines were all over the place. He goes, now they're kind of locked in. And Bieksa had a good point. He goes, guys, you're going to have to play Canada or the U.S. at some point. You know what I mean? Just point blank. You're not avoiding it. And I don't buy into the day rest thing. I don't think it's a problem. I think Sweden's ready to go, actually. Like, I'm calling it. Sweden wins. I'll say 4-2 with the empty netter.
The day of rest could hurt.
We have boom or bust goaltenders. When they're on top of their game, they can be awesome. And when they're off, it can be
Markstrom
and
Hellebuck.
Markstrom looked pretty damn good.
Hey, but this is like, Cam, this is like old school Flames versus Jets, right?
I know. That's Flames Jets.
Except the stakes are a lot higher now.
Let's give Markstrom credit, because Latvia actually, at the end of the second period and third, came on like gangbusters. And Markstrom was very, very solid. I'll give him all the credit in the world. He played good.
All right. Closing words, Babano. Any thoughts on the way out? Are Canada still going to win the gold medal?
I will. I'll stick with Canada in the gold medal. I want to throw out a college basketball pick for Wednesday night, just because this has been a total streak I've been riding with the Drake Bulldogs. 12-1 overrun for Drake in their last 13 games. I've been on a bunch of these. They're playing Southern Illinois tonight. That total is 149. I'm just going to ride that great overrun with Drake.
Nice win by Michigan for you, Gabe. And I'll tell you one thing, this Miami of Ohio team, that doesn't matter who's on the board. These guys took care of business at UMass. That's another chalk it up for the Red Hawk. These guys are on fire.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull it off. They're going to go the regular season. We'll see if they can run the table in their conference tournament, but I kind of get the feeling they will. I'll wrap it up and we'll say this. So we'll throw it out there. We've talked about it a lot, but Canada versus USA women's hockey tomorrow, gold medal game. Lay the 1.5 with the women, USA women. You know, it's a gold medal game. Anything can happen and all this type of stuff. But women's hockey is a little bit different. It's just going to be in a shooting gallery. Like, USA are going to outshoot Canada, and Dave Bien is only going to be able to do so much. Canada is going to spend so much time and energy trying to keep up and stop USA from scoring. And I think they'll do a decent job of it. I think it'll be like 4-0 or something. I don't think they lose 8-0 or anything like that, but I don't know if Canada's going to score. So I'll lay the 1.5. You can parlay it up with USA money line and stuff. But Cam, you agree? USA women roll?
I have futures on them. They could have beat Sweden by over 10 goals in that game. They dominated. Like, they're amazing. They're just simply better than everybody else. I like USA to beat Canada 4-1.
Babano, woman's pick?
I can't be Homer here. The U.S. is just a lot better. U.S. wins.
All right. Babano can stick, be a Homer when Hamilton Tigers. What's this? They're building a new hangar in Hamilton? New fan zone or something like that for the Hamilton. The Hamilton Tiger Cats. I brought this up before, actually, and good on Hamilton for getting on it. If you're going to make the end zones even smaller now, right? And I know we're a year away from this, but you got to get ahead of it and start doing it. If you're going to make the end zone smaller, think about it, Cam. That's the big problem with the CFL. And I know I sit in the end zone often at BC Lion games. You sit in the end zone, bro, you're so far back already.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like for the seats from like the end zone so big, but now you shorten it, you're going to be even further back. Like, so like the sight lines are not good. Like BC Place is not good for the CFL in the end zone. Like I've learned this. I don't really sit there anymore, but like Hamilton, basically they're building like a bar right in the back of the end zone. Sort of like the Jays did. That's the new thing. People like that.
Smart.
You stay and get to stand there and drink. You know what I mean? You charge the kids $50 or whatever. Like yeah, you let them stand and drink in their own area. You put some chairs there. Becomes a social thing. Hamilton, most CFL teams already have it. You know, Saskatchewan has it, blah, blah, in the end zone. Like, Hamilton already did. Montreal was pretty good out of years ago. They got the Bud Zone or whatever the hell it's called back there in the end zone.
Emo's you get a still better view.
You're on a platform, at least in the end zone. You're a little closer to the field. You got your drinks right in front of you. At least, like, it's a fun party. But I saw Hamilton put a big money into it. Like, they're calling it the hangar or whatever. It's like expanded bar in the end zone. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, BMO has that problem too. I've been to the Argo games. I was in the end zone, and that's the thing about the CFL
end zone.
Yeah,
too far.
They're big. Oh, way too far. It's
tough, like with the seats. There's not much more you can do about it, but
yep.
I never asked them to go to 100 yards. I don't want them to go to 100 yards. Rick Saratella was bitching about this yesterday.
I love Rick Saratella, Gabe. I know we got to wrap it up, but I'll tell you something. It's called the Canadian Football League, and I understand the clock rule. I don't like
Rick's
the
American,
well.
And he was a scout with the Edmonton Elks, and he even said, I don't know what the hell you guys are changing the rules for. Exactly. Like, why are you doing this? Like,
it's the CFL, not the NFL. It's a CFL.
Yeah, this TSN commissioner. Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, last thing about that, actually, we'll hit this later in the week or whatever when there's more time. But Dave Portnoy of Barstool did a video calling John Levy the score the biggest idiot that he's ever met in the industry before.
Wow.
And
wow.
Levy like did a video, an interview saying that, you know, he was more complimentary of Portnoy, but he basically said Portnoy got the $100 million and then took off and didn't care about what happened after. So, yeah, John Levy and Portnoy are going at it online right now, back and forth. People have asked me my opinion. What do you think, Morency? You know. And I'm like, I haven't answered, Cam.
No comment.
No comment. I'm like, I'm not. I got nothing to gain.
You guys, we got enough
to
problems,
me,
Dave.
I'll be honest with you. On the podcast, I'll comment, and my simple answer, whatever. Who gives a fuck? You got 200 millionaires bitching at each other. They're both rich. Who cares?
Where's the envelope?
Yeah, send two super rich guys that think the other guy's smarter than the other guy. Like, you know what I mean? They both think they're smarter than each other. And that's my, I'm like, you know what? They're both just rich. You can't put a bunch of rich, like Megan egos, like in a room. Like everyone, a lot of rich people don't like being told like they're wrong or, you know what I mean? And Levy did a little interview. It was actually funny. Like Levy did an interview about it. And he goes, you know, I've been around this industry and I think I know what I'm doing. And I gave suggestions around the table and the Barstool guys totally ignored me.
Wow, amazing.
Normally I wouldn't care about this stuff, but knowing him, I actually find it funny. I'm all like, oh, this is actually pretty juicy. So I've been watching the videos. Rob Pizzola, of course, had to jump in on Twitter. He defended John Levy, saying what a great guy John Levy is. That's when people jumped in and said, ask Morency if John Levy's a great guy.
Amazing.
Like,
I
got no comment, man.
Yeah, no comment.
I got no beef with him. But like I said, I just found it like whatever, dude. To me, John Levy and Dave Portnoy arguing with each other online is the same thing to me as like Vince McMahon and Ted Turner arguing.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. I don't care. You got two ultra like 100 millionaires arguing. Like, what? It doesn't change our lives.
Nope.
That's my take. All right. Thanks, Babano. When's the ice guys?
Always
on?
Good, guys. Enjoy the rest of the hockey.
You too, Babano.
When's the ice guys on, Babano?
We're back next Wednesday. Well, actually, no, we got the pre-recorded shows for the semifinals on. We'll record that Thursday. It'll be posted. And then Saturday for the bronze and the gold medal game. And then we're back 7 days a week next Wednesday when the NHL resumes.
All right. Nice. Kind of weak of you guys not to be doing a daily Olympic thing.
Yeah.
These are kind of weak. Pre-tape.
It's kind of big hockey going on here, but no, pre-tape's fine. Yeah,
by the way, I like Edmonton getting Paul Coffey back as an assistant coach. He'll help the D. He actually did content, good work with them.
Kind of weak, guys.
Wow, that's kind of big hockey going on.
That was so funny.
All right, so we'll see. Finland's down one right now with 3 minutes left, so we'll see what happens.
They're pressing. We'll see.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Sweden.
Later.